Hello and welcome to So Farscape.
A fun-filled Farscape fan cast by a fervent fan.
And a frankly fascinated first-timer.
I'm Cocky.
I'm Kay. And this is a story So Farscape.
Boom! Montage!
How So Farscape can it be? Yes. Damn, that's like the most sincere and, well, no, succinct montage, I guess. Did it just take a shot from every episode?
Two, in fact.
Yes. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Hello, welcome, season 4, episode 22. I'm Cocky, this is Kay.
Bad timing.
Yes, so we're following that theme by sort of, let's just push all the buttons at once and
she
see if we can... There we go.
So,
because we're super excited, we've just watched the season 4 finale, Bad Timing, and it opens with an amazing montage.
Yes, we didn't speak a word between the two, which was related to Farscape, between the moment the episode finished and we started this recording.
We have a lot to say. I've seen you feverishly scribbling notes. That's more notes than I've ever seen on your page.
That's not true, but...
Excellent penmanship, by the way.
Oh, no, well, thank you.
At least from a distance.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Because, yeah, we open with two sets of 4 frames from... 86 episodes.
Yeah.
So I did the math on that, and I believe that at 24 frames per second, that's about 28 seconds. 28 and a bit.
It feels about right.
Yeah, right? That's probably right. So not all 87, because one of them hadn't been filmed yet at the time that post-production was entering.
Oh, fair enough.
And that was Constellation of Doubt with the television programs.
Oh, wait. Huh? They hadn't filmed Constellation of Doubt yet when they were doing this one.
So I figured
because
that's kind of a safe one. It takes place almost entirely in like alternate sets with other actors.
Good point.
Or just on Moya with John lying around. So I kind of feel like maybe that was an easy pickup. We can do that in an afternoon if we need to.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, still. Yeah. And again, there's like what kind of. It would be a hard episode to get a distinctive shot from. Because, like, I got the impression that they were definitely going for a distinctive image from each of the... of course we have Jeeves.
We have Jeeves, and they're amazing. We start off with John sitting at Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
Yeah, the opening shot.
Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, one of the two. They keep renaming it. I don't know which one it is these days.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay.
Yes, I think it started out as Cape Canaveral, and then it became Cape Kennedy, and then it became Cape Canaveral again. I'm not 100% sure on the timing on that, but yes.
Call it Canaveral? He called it Canaveral. Canaveral.
Right.
Canaveral.
Yeah, which is weird, because only launch control is at Cape Canaveral. After that, it immediately gets handed over to Houston.
In NASA, but this is IASA.
Oh, of course, yes. And therefore, they still launch everything from Cape Canaveral.
I guess.
And use American space shuttles and, do everything basically American except, like, it's in
including the football
house
helmets.
In Australia now, yes. Which we did see a little bit of a nod to coming back to this time around. They were better than just the football helmet, but...
I have the word helmet seals written down in my notes as well. But yeah, these Jeeves are amazing. Like, even when we were just watching the montage, I was riveted. And we see Zahn again and Unity and the eye blast and... So much. Like, if you want to give someone a summary of like Farscape, you can do worse than just showing them these iconic images that in a flash you'll recognize from every episode.
Very ill. Yeah. And then you tell them, this is just the first episode.
Oh no, pressing all the buttons together all at the same time has like created some wormhole interference and we're getting some definite weird sound effects here, and this is totally not because we forgot to record the synopsis and we are now like picking this up at a later point in the day.
I know, we got so excited and we just jumped into the episode and like, huh, this is convenient. Oh, also, like look at us go. We're so under control in terms of time. We didn't even go over time. And it's because we forgot a little bit, didn't we, Kay?
Yes, we forgot to do what our listeners had to say about this episode.
It's honestly one of my favorite parts.
It is, I can imagine. Like, this is like literally the first time we forgot to do this since we started doing this.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let us see. What did they say?
Hey, by the way, I appreciate like this really soft voice that you put.
Oh,
on.
Well, I'm not. It's probably because my headphones are really loud and I'm trying not to blow out the sound. All right.
Let us project.
A project. Out of the frying pan, into the fire, Scarron's heading to Earth, situation dire.
Ooh.
Closing the wormhole, the only solution, Harvey's word shakes John's resolution.
Oh, whoa.
Domino Rigel saves the day, pilot puts himself in harm's way.
Oh.
Wormhole crash, last words garbled, Moya's crew lost their marbles. Thank you, Marky C.
What a fantastic rhyme.
Yes.
In rhyming couplets, an excellent meter. Well done, Marky C. Let me see. We have a lot of rhymes this time around. Emergency trip in extended starburst. With all this bad timing, we must be cursed. Puncture the bubble. What a cute couple. Quick, stop the Scarrons from returning to Earth. Thank you, Rick from the Delta Quadrant. Well done for another limerick.
And voyeurism, cucking and bondage. And that's just one scene. The race is on. He holds the hummingbird feeder, rules the galaxy. Thank you, Mark Nixon.
Which scene was that?
Hummingbird feeder. I assume that's the bird. That's the...
No, the other bit.
Oh, the cucking.
Okay, so Mark Nixon writes about voyeurism, cucking, bondage, and hummingbird feeder. And you think I'm talking about the hummingbird feeder? Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark. I'm going to have to watch that episode again. Well, fortunately, we're about to recap it, so I'll just listen to that. But we have one more. Since John made the mistake of telling Jen-Ik about Bird of Paradise, he must now figure out a way to protect Earth. To do so, he must insist the help of the only being who can see the wormhole form. Will this member help? Will the Earth be safe? And will Aaron say yes or no? Find out in the action-packed series finale. Thank you, Billy Roberts. I love this opening sequence. Because it opens with actually kind of a complicated montage with multiple timelines.
Yes, very much so. I mean, basically cut to Scorpius talking to John about like that he should trust him.
Direct address, staring into the camera.
You only see Scorpius' mouth, actually almost only his lower half. No, actually from the nose down.
And we have John and Aaron discussing what Scorpius said and did.
Yes.
Which Scorpius says was not a betrayal, and which John says is definitely betrayal.
Yeah, we still don't know, what's going on there, how this is, what's being done with Scorpius. I mean, was he a double agent? Was he a triple agent? What was the score?
Yeah.
He's like, he's been trying to convince them. The only thing we know is that Bracca is still loyal to Scorpius.
Very much so.
Very much so. That Sokozu is definitely thrown in her lot with Scorpius.
Yep. Oh, and Bracca is now actually here.
Yes.
Because Scorpius signaled Bracca and his command carrier to show up.
Yes. And they're here and like, oh, hi. He basically wants to still work together with them. Stop the Scarrons from doing their thing.
Yes, because Bracca transmits an intercepted signal from the nuclear blasted Catrazzi.
Mm-hmm. Which seems to be doing pretty good for having been nuclear blasted.
I mean, it's a planetoid. It already had chunks blown out of it on one side, so it can stand a few more chunks blown out on the other side, I guess. But it's between Pennock, one of the horse-faced Scarrons, and Stalik, where Pennock is being instructed to go to Earth via the wormhole and subdue the population.
Yes, because they have discovered that it's actually the same flowers that grow on Earth. Like, because John said, like, oh yeah, these grow in my mum's backyard.
Yeah, which, at the time, we didn't know that was significant.
Yes.
But you've got to admire the Scarrons' poker faces when they didn't just... Well, there's a new planet where this grows. Those are incredibly rare. We can have your planet too?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Well, we'll just file that away for super excitement. I bet as soon as, like, John and Aaron walked out of that scene, that Stalik and Akna grabbed hands and did a little dance. Yay! We found another flower planet! But so, here's an interesting situation, because John is... He's being a little bit manic.
Yes.
Again, like he's being extremely, like, emotionally reactive, not over-emotional, but emotionally reactive. And Aaron is, like, trying to talk him through what he's actually thinking, which I thought was great. Like, she's the voice of reason, he's the voice of caution, and they're both on John's side. Like, it's fully supportive. In fact, he probably wouldn't be able to be so free with, like, his emotions and his anxieties if he didn't have Aaron there that he trusted to...
And running under the talk about what's happening to Earth is everything has subtext, because they're also talking about themselves.
Yes, because Scorpius suggests you can make an alliance with the peacekeepers and then they'll make sure that your planet is protected. Well, that's a big commitment.
So you're...
What?
afraid of commitment.
Flash forward, yes! Which is fantastic, to John talking to Dargo and Chana talking with Eren. So they both go to their own little support network on board. Yeah. And like, it's a fantastic discussion.
Hey, wait a minute. Did she hesitate like that, or was that just you doing that now?
Because it matters. Because if she paused, then she's talking about you.
Fantastic scene. I love that. And flashback to continuing the discussion. John decides that he is going to take care of it.
Yeah.
He's going to, like, destroy the wormhole to Earth.
Wait, no. We're nowhere near that yet. No. This is just, he's just decided, I've had enough of Scorpius.
Right.
That's the thing.
I thought he was originally going to, like, do something to the wormhole as well.
No, that's going to come. That's
going to come a little bit later. Okay, right. Fair enough. Yeah, so of course we're going to take care of Scorpius.
Oh, does it? Yes. Wait, actually. Oh, no, I think you're right. There is a... He has a third option. I think that's... it's a little bit confusing. But
it is. I was thoroughly confused trying to follow all the different time and plot lines and discussions.
I was confused how Sikozu plans to survive in space when she has her hair loose over her helmet collar.
Yeah, that gets fixed, apparently.
Just off-screen, apparently.
The helmet, yeah, then it all disappears in the helmet.
Super space technology. Yes. And
basically, Bracca has said, like, if it looks like you're going to starburst, I'm going to cripple you.
Yep.
Because like they're really under a point-blank range of the command carrier's guns.
Yep, the squashed-out guns, because the only shot they had of that was in 4x3 from season one. And so they look really oval.
And they go like, no, we're not going to do it like this. They've got Sikozu and Scorpius in the airlock. Hey, oh look, we have another nuclear bomb here.
Yeah, like... It's not like John to just try the same thing over and over again, but...
It's not exactly the same thing, but...
No, now there's a... Oh, what did it... He wrote something on the bomb. What did it say?
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Okay, let me look at that, Chief. Dear John. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
But, yes, basically they are getting rid of Scorpius and Sikozu because they know that they're in liege with each other. And
that's what Bracca's there for. He just wants Scorpius back.
Yep, and they just basically tough them out the airlock and it's like, bye, the command carrier can pick you up and we're heading away.
Yep, Dargo explains it very, very simply. Yep. Like,
Captain Bracca, here's the deal. We've attached a bomb to Scorpius and we're leaving. Follow us and the bomb explodes. Once we've gone, the bomb will shut down. Couldn't be simpler. Don't bother responding. We're not listening.
The don't respond part? Yeah. Because we're not listening? That's a bit dangerous.
It is, but... I mean, it is like a power move. It is literally, this is what it's going to be like. And, yeah, at that point, continuing to listen, you just open yourself up to influencing, getting influenced, I suppose. Because if you say, like, this is it, and you stick to it, then... I mean, it kind of depends on the fact that they know that you stick to it, but I think they know that Dargo is headstrong enough to...
There is a risk that message doesn't arrive with Bracca in time.
Right.
And that Moya moves away and that the gun captains are like, oh, well, it's moving away.
We're
still
under orders.
Have orders.
Yes. Yeah. True.
So everyone puts on their non-sealing helmet that definitely doesn't have a chin piece, and John straps himself in with carabiners that he just sort of clinks together and don't actually lock.
Yeah.
And yet, somehow, Sikozu and Scorpius are blasted out, and John's fine.
I think the faceplate actually goes down a lot further than the sports helmet one goes. So you could argue that it reaches down far enough to connect to a collar piece.
That they don't have.
Well, I guess not.
We just, like, they very carefully never filmed those helmets from below so that you can see the chin gap.
Yeah, fair point.
Which the actors probably desperately need to prevent fogging as well. Because I don't imagine that, you know, if you look at modern science fiction epics like the various Star Trek series, like those helmets have climate control in them and anti-fogging.
Right,
and,
like proper space helmets.
Yes, yeah. And also like the kind of thing that you put expensive actors in and don't want them to die.
Mm.
But this is Farscape.
So, yes, airlock goes open, they get sucked out, airlock closes again, starburst and credits.
Oh, I love that we get, like, a nice long shot of the whole starburst sequence.
Yes, we haven't seen that in a while.
Right?
And we get two this time around.
Yeah!
Yeah.
On the blasted-out hulk of Catrazzi, we have a very despondent Emperor Stalik walking around his rubbish throne room. You'd think that they have time to clean that up. Yeah. To have a conversation with Minister Akna.
Yes, who is bitterly complaining again.
Yes.
Why send a striker force to Earth? For impotent revenge against Crichton? Or to separate me from my lover?
Then he's like, no, I'm sending him on an important mission. He tells her about the flowers. I actually noticed that decoration in the background, that's kind of like made up out of the similar shape as those Bird of Paradise flowers, kind of like...
Oh, I see.
If you stuck them together like a bunch of circles, then you kind of get that shape.
Deep cut for the fairy community.
Yeah, well.
Yes, there's a sort of star-shaped emblem behind...
Right, but you
Minister
see what I mean
Akhtar.
About that, each of the elements of that emblem.
Yeah, it looks like the wobbly bit of a Bird of Paradise flower.
Right, yeah.
That's awesome. And Stalik grabs one of the bits of flower and holds it out like a...
Like a peace offering, I would call it. Because like, basically he's proposing that they like set their difference aside. There's a little bit about bickering about like how the ascension happened, that she is bitter about that her father got disposed.
Just as he took from his predecessor.
Get over it.
It's a weird situation because he's not actually offering her anything. He's asking her to put her differences aside.
Well, he's
and
the
work
emperor.
With him.
Yeah.
And interesting that emperor seems to be an elected or appointed position.
Right, yes. They're basically saying, like, this sector of space is now unusable for them because the flower has been destroyed and therefore this sector has been eliminated. They have to retreat here before their supply runs out, otherwise they become dumb again.
Yeah.
But he says, like, ah, there is a planet where these things grow.
Yeah. And there's a handy-dandy wormhole.
And we're sending someone over pronto to go and get there.
So John, I think you are completely right. I just misremembered. John did suggest that it was possible to collapse a wormhole, but he just didn't have it completely figured out yet. So he's back to...
The information was there, but it was all in the wrong order. So we find him in the shuttle bay or wherever it is. And they took down the wallpapering and he's like writing on huge scrolls.
Huge scrolls of like a flipboard paper.
Everybody is offering helpful suggestions to help him along, which in case of Chana is...
Sex.
Whether you or with him.
Whatever.
Either, anybody. Which in the case of...
We're both excellent at it, unlike you, John.
Yeah, there's that. And which in the case of Granny is...
Natural, organic, drugs.
Drugs, the only solution to, as she calls it, brain lock.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. John has his own solution, which is to open fire on one of the only like legible bits of formula.
Yes.
Where he goes, it's not fucking 12.
Yep.
And he takes Mr. Starkey and he blasts it.
Yes. Stark is being useless. I mean, he's pretty much useless the entire episode.
Stark is also there. Capital A, capital T. Like,
yeah.
It's so nice to have Stark around not doing anything of note again. But, I do like seeing him.
So John goes to confer with Pilot, which is a hilarious little exchange there. Because, do you know about the bubbles?
So it's there. You can't see it, but it is there.
I can see it.
You can see the bubble.
Yes, can't you?
Well, I can kind of smell it.
And he like, just moves it's,
it's
wait,
lovely
you can
how,
see it?
How John seems to be like slightly taken aback by this.
This is happening during a maneuver that Pilot and Moya have come up with.
Oh, yes.
Because the Scarran Striker has a unique propulsion system that is a bit faster than them.
Yep.
So without consulting anyone, and without apparently getting approval from their captain, they've decided to do what's called an extended starburst maneuver, which is another gorgeous shot. We see the energy rippling up through Pilot's den. We see the sort of photons cascading over her skin. Oh, I saw an interview on The Companion, a website with lots of interviews and like research into, you know, our era of science fiction, including Farscape.
Mm-hmm.
The visual effects supervisor for series one talked about like the design of Moya that they didn't really have when he came on as a supervisor. So he spent 2 weeks just making paintings, and he wanted to essentially give the star charts is what he wanted to put on her skin, like all those those walls navigators, and like I think he mentioned like his children's birthdays are in there somewhere as well.
I love how, by the way, how they like put that, the fact that they are in extended starburst in on screen, because like when you see John walking into frame, there's kind of a little bit of like a vague little wobble that goes away.
Yeah, like a little streak behind him.
Right. Granny comes telling him that like everything's normal, like, you know, Rigel's puking his guts out because they're in starburst, and fortunately
Stark has passed out
because that means he can't puke. Everybody's feeling a bit queasy. But Pilot agrees completely with John's plan that the best way that they can collapse a wormhole is by hitting it entering it just a little bit too early. Just as the bubble of the wormhole is opening up and reaches its maximum, instead of letting it collapse into a wormhole, if they then fly through it, that causes a cascade which will allow them to pass through the wormhole but collapse it behind them.
They're so excited. Like, there's even this great excited music as he's running up to tell Pilot, yay, yay, I figured it out. There's a cool hologram. Hey, apparently he had, like, holographic technology in his den this whole time.
No, he's using 1912 for that.
Oh, that's clever.
He picks up, you can see him walking in on the shot with carrying 1812, and he puts him on Pilot's console, so he's using him for the holographic projector.
Oh,
and
well
also,
done,
why
buddy.
Wouldn't they have a holographic projector? Because they're the clamshells.
Which we haven't seen in ages.
No, but
we
know that they have holographic technology.
Yes, that's true. So. I guess he usually uses that for, like, space Scrabble.
I guess, yeah. Or whatever that game was that Rigel was playing in season one with.
Oh, yeah. With the annoying bing, 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 bing,
right.
Bing. And they arrive at the mouth of the wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
Dargo is well impressed.
Outstanding, Pilot. Congratulations to you and to Moya.
I think this is the first time they've actually done an accurate destination arrival.
Yeah.
Jump.
Huh.
Starburst. Because usually Starburst is roughly in that direction and we'll see where we end up.
Yes, yeah. That makes it so hard to track, because you can get a sort of direction, but you don't know when they stopped exactly.
Yep.
And, I mean, it used to be that Pilot said that Starburst invalidates previous navigational markers.
Yeah.
Maybe he and Moya just weren't very good at it.
Could be. Could well be.
And they were sort of hiding that behind, no, Starburst is notoriously inaccurate.
However, Pilot, and John says he's going to take the module, but Pilot informs him that he is not good enough.
Yes.
Because it's going to take millimicrot accuracy to fly through the bubble, and John is simply not capable of achieving that in the module.
He can sort of smell it, the bubble, when it occurs, but he can't see it, and even if he could,
his reaction time is too slow to be able to respond to it in time.
Yeah.
Rigel, who kind of sidles up under Pilot's arm and comes up through behind the console to have a little chat with him.
Yeah, it's very brief, but just the fact that he goes to Pilot,
mm-hmm.
like, that is the almost Zahn role that Rigel is filling now. Because he's done this before, right? He's just sidled up to people and giving them counsel. And Pilot even asks, hey, would you do it?
He's like, well, of course not. I'm me. He's like, I love that. It's like, no, of course not. Like, do as I say, don't do as I do. But, you know, like, it's me.
But I'm not you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, so we have a little tea party on the command carrier.
Allow me to take this opportunity to say how pleased I am to have you back on board, sir.
Just real messed up.
Which turns into a bit of a freaky deaky between Sokozu and Scorpius.
Yeah, with Bracca sort of watching behind the window.
I'm
like,
pretty sure... Oh, yes, he is watching, isn't he? Yes.
He's up overhead.
He's informed them that Graza is in custody and probably sedated.
Yeah, she wasn't adjusting well.
Which is interesting that he doesn't know that for sure.
I guess he doesn't care.
It seems like the kind of thing that you want to be on. Like, you know, Graza is like the main threat there. The main internal threat, at least. So you'd think that you want to know if, like, she's being sedated or not, but you might be right.
Just, they have this huge hangar, and Bracca's idea of a welcome back party is to roll out a carpet. He probably set up this tea set for him and Scorpius, and he's kind of miffed that Scorpius brought his own date.
Fair point, yes.
Who is now all over him.
Yes, I mean, she's like very suggestively licking the spoon, and then it goes off the rails from that, yes. John is going back to making old-timey recordings. Kind of like a recap of what he used to do in season one.
I mean, it's almost the opening credits, right?
It is, yes.
With a few crucial differences. He says it's been 4 years. Yeah. Whereas the credits say that it had been three, which was at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got shot through a wormhole and he wound up on this ship.
This living ship.
Yes! Oh, we were almost sort of verbally high-fived when he said that. And then his recording is interrupted.
By Harvey.
In a bunny suit!
In a bunny suit. And not just Harvey in a bunny suit, it's John in a bunny suit as well. And there's like a bunny fist fight between the two of them.
It's so cute.
There's a pink bunny and a white bunny having a punch-up somewhere in a grassy field.
Yes.
This is not the time to be messing with me!
With eggs flying around.
He even does the stomp on Harvey's chest, and their legs are flying up, and they've got their big old paws. Oh, it's adorable. Man, this episode is so bonkers.
It's insane. I'm not entirely sure what they're fighting about, but, like, I kind of missed that part.
Well, Harvey thinks that John should ally with Scorpius.
Right. He does.
Yes. And he's very reasonable about it, because, like, what else do you have to lose? The Peacekeepers are many, many things, but they are also mighty.
Yeah, and they might not be the worst thing out there.
And the very fact of an announcement of an alliance would mean that Stalik would recall his strike force immediately.
Oh, would he though? Well, they don't know about the flowers.
Who doesn't know about the flowers?
Harvey and Scorpius.
So Scorpius does. Scorpius was... You saw him with the gun. He wanted to destroy the...
Scorpius doesn't know about the flowers on Earth.
Oh, like so. Yeah.
So that's actually... The Scarab's motivation is something that's unbeknownst to both John and Scorpius.
I mean, John knows it.
But he doesn't know that he knows.
No, wait, he does. Because John said, oh, yeah, I kind of told the Emperor that they grow on my planet.
Oh, yeah, he did. Okay, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the transmission, so maybe Scorpius doesn't know.
Yeah.
Hey, that's interesting. Yet nevertheless...
Oh, yeah, of course he knows, because that's why he knows that, like, Earth is under so much threat right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
No, this is valid. Come on, Farscape keeps you on his toes.
Yeah, very good.
Even while you see two grown men in adorable bunny suits having adorable little bunny fights with each other... This is an image, by the way, I have had to protect you so many times over the years, and thank you to the Farscape fandom out there for keeping Kay pure. Like, the image of Harvey in a bunny suit has been posted and deleted to our little chat group several times to make sure that you didn't see it and you were kept pure until now.
Why do they keep posting it? Like,
well, like, it's just such an iconic image.
Fair.
That we all just remember. And very, you know, you don't always remember, oh, that's from the very last episode.
Yeah.
But it is convincing to John.
Yes, because at that point he decides, like, okay, I can't do it. Like, he agrees that it's not going to happen and they are going to have to get a better solution.
Yeah, he decides, like, okay, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to have to call Scorpius back and get his protection. And like, Darko and Chiana are there as various voices of reason and confidence. Darko says, okay, like, Graze's betrayal doesn't represent all the peacekeepers.
Mm.
I genuinely believe that they will protect your planet and then enslave it.
Yeah.
And Chiana, like, she's much more principled.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I mean,
hey, no,
considering
you,
her background, that's not surprising.
You have a plan.
Yeah.
You're going to collapse this wormhole. Oh, Chiana, I can't. Yes, you can. Because, of course, she's seen him do amazing things.
Yeah, she believes in him.
And when he rejects that, she rejects him.
I'm only human.
You!
Siskozu's giving Scorpius a lap
dance. Yeah, we get the freaky-deaky stuff between them.
Then
it is Aaron Sun talking to Pilot.
Who's having an anxiety attack.
Yes.
Looks like. She's caressing his face like she did in the way we weren't.
Because apparently he and Moya are having a bit of an argument. It's like funny, I have it like a down as a panic attack as well, like Pilot
right.
Panic attack, yeah.
Yeah, and she's being an emotional support sebation.
Because it turns out that there is a possible solution.
Yeah. We move really briskly through it. Like,
right.
Before we even find out what the solution is, John is thanking Rigel.
Thanking by dragging him by the earbrows along the corridor.
You, Sparky, you selfish, egotistical, self-centered little Dominar. Pilot said it was you that turned him around.
Do you want to pay me back?
See how it turns out.
Oh.
But I love your scaly green ass no matter what.
And it turns out that it's possible for pilots to temporarily disconnect from Moya.
Yeah.
Because he can survive in the transport pod for no longer than an arn.
After which the tendrils start to scab over
on both
sides.
And they won't be able to connect him back in anymore.
At which point he will definitely die.
Alone.
Yeah.
And I guess Moya will be all right.
Well, she'll never be able to accept another pilot, it sounds like. Like, if her connectors also scab over.
Good point, yes.
But so a lot of work needs to be done.
Mm.
And I really respect that Darko, who's sitting in the chamber below Pilot's den, like, says, I really need to hear it from you. And
yeah.
Pilot very officially says, like, I remand control of Moya to you. You may now sever me from...
Yes. Granny has upgraded her kit with a little bejazzled plant mister.
Yes, it's great.
That she uses to spray soothing essential oils across... No, sorry. Natural organic drugs.
Yeah, to soothe and sedate Pilot while they open... I mean, it looks like a sort of smoke machine with lights in it. It's clearly some kind of cutting device.
Oh, yes, the plasma cutter or whatever you want to call it. And they start, like, yeah, taking... I mean, this is like... It must be a bit of a hack job, because, like, it took the peacekeepers days to prepare a Pilot connection or something, like, when Pilot was being installed.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
And now they're doing
and,
a quick little
And later
hack
when
job.
They fixed him up again for proper, like, yeah. He tore himself loose. So initially there was a hack job, then they did it right in season two, and that took ages to heal.
Right, yes. So it's probably going to take some more healing time to get back into the spat of things. Although, of course, like, the connections have already been grown. They've just kind of been ripped open. They kind of have to heal again. So, you know, there's a good case to be argued for that it goes quicker this time.
Right, yeah. Because the adaptation is done. It's just a temporary interruption, and if it's short enough...
Right, then the neural pathways just have to, like, find each other again, and they don't have to completely regrow.
Okay, we are treated to, like, the reverse of something that we've noticed when Farscape goes to commercial. Because normally, when Farscape cuts to commercial in the middle of, like, lots of people screaming, yeah. We come back and everything's fine. Everything's
been resolved. Yes. And
in this case, we come back and there is a new problem that we didn't have before, which is Granny, they're still cutting, and Granny comes down.
Stop! It's not working! Stop! Stop!
Tearing him in half, and it's like, oh.
He's delirious. He's passed out. Well, yeah, of course, we're cutting Pilot in half.
Oh, no, not him.
The other one.
Yeah, because apparently Stark is having a meltdown. Stark is just sitting there sympathizing like a betazoid on ecstasy.
Wow! Wow! Sick Star Trek The Next Generation reference, bro. Because Pilot is teaching him how to operate Moya, which, like, he was briefly the pilot for Talon.
Oh, yes, of course. And he's getting flashbacks to that.
Which gave him the confidence to apparently volunteer for this mission, but Moya is much, much more complex.
Right. And, yeah, he's not cutting it. So Chiana goes like, well, I'll use my ability to learn, see what needs to be done.
So she can slow down time.
Oh, that was the thing.
Here's her observation, because Pilot needs to teach him this whole sequence of commands that needs to be done.
While he is away, in order for Moya to be...
But it's too quick for Stark to learn, and they ask him to slow it down. I'm like, no, there's no time.
It has to be done, yeah, like this, yeah.
Yeah, and Chiana offers to, like, I'll slow it down, because she has that ability.
Yeah, we haven't seen her use that in a while, but, well, for good reason, because it turns her blind, as it does now.
Yeah.
Things start to go in motion. There is a... What does it mean? Okay, this ship...
That's the Scarran's, but it's right. A Scarran dreadnought.
Right, yes.
Whereas we were told that a Striker was being sent out.
Right,
so
this is just... Yeah, it's kind of weird what's going on here. I'm not sure what's happening, except that the module... No, sorry, not the module. The
transport.
The transport pod with Pilot in it, with John and Aaron in it. And that's just the three of them, right? Anybody else come with?
John, yeah. Aaron, Pilot.
Yeah, and they pop through the wormhole.
And off they fly.
Next shot, we see the moon, and then John, with the Earth in the background, who is walking up to an American flag.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the location where his father landed on the moon. Because there's clipped to the flag, there is a picture of his family.
That John just takes?
Yeah.
You sentimental son of a bitch.
And it's... This is a scene that just lives rent-free in my memory and has done for many, many years. Because it's the last conversation between John and his dad, because John is there to sever the connection.
Yeah, say farewell, like, explain what's going on. Dad has been having an argument with someone, like Space Command of the United Nations or whatever, about, like, having to arm eggheads who would not like that and blah, blah, blah. But it gets interrupted when John calls him. And, yeah, Dad tries to argue, like, well, we're ready. We want to come. We want to fight. Imagine what a difference 500 of our best scientists would make.
I kind of love this idea that they sort of started this standing program to just have 500 experts ready to go in case aliens show up.
Mm.
Family connections all taken care of. We are ready to leave at a moment's notice, so we never miss this opportunity again. Yeah. We don't have to get it started.
But John goes like, nope, sorry, I'm here to close the wormhole. And he's like, but how are we going to get out of Bail the Rocket?
The old-fashioned way.
Yep. Apparently he left a tape recorder, which he put on the moon, which is a really bad environment for a tape recorder. But
yes, yes. You also, like, you were upset by the fact that a Polaroid photo would still be sort of clipped on the moon, which is a high radiation environment.
Even the flag would be white by now.
Yeah.
It's like the high UV that you get there, like everything left behind on the moon is completely bleached. But yes, tape recorder, magnetic tape recorder on the moon. Like, you know, moon dust is super aggressive. It's like...
Yeah, but it doesn't move around much, does it?
John is. Like, it's kicking about.
He's ruining a whole bunch of historic footsteps.
Oh, well, that too. Footprints. Well, I mean, his dad wasn't the first on the moon, so they're not that historic, I guess.
Well, they are in... Where are they? Serenity Base.
Yes, but that implies that his dad was on the first moon landing. Which is clearly not, because he was much later than that.
Not the first, but he was on a moon landing.
The Serenity Base was also where they did the Apollo, wasn't it?
The Apollo 11?
No, that was Tranquility, sorry. Not Tranquility, Serenity. Yeah. Sorry.
Because you imagine that every moon landing would be on a different site. Like,
generally speaking, yes.
Why visit the same site twice?
Unless there's a reason.
Unless you found something special.
Well, I think it was Apollo 12 or 14. They landed near an old moon lander that they, like an unmanned moon lander that they had.
Oh.
But that's because they wanted to retrieve components from it so they could examine them, so like see what prolonged exposure to lunar conditions would have.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, they landed within a few hundred meters of an old unmanned moon lander.
For science,
yeah.
Yep, so, obviously.
Yeah.
This scene was filmed during, I think it was Terra Firma, so the second one that was on Earth. So
makes sense.
David Kemper talked about the challenge of this year, and one of them was like having to write this scene for the middle of the series when Kent McCord was in Australia.
Yep.
Ben Browder filmed his part much later, of course.
Oh, okay. That makes it makes sense, but it also makes it harder to deviate from the script.
Yeah. So that was quite a challenge, but just this shot, both of them sort of... John's looking to the horizon, where we've got Earthrise over the lunar horizon, and his dad is looking up.
Aaron is watching him from inside the module, the pod, the transport mod. Yeah, yes. John says his goodbyes, tells him that he's leaving the information on the moon. He tells him where to find it.
And he says, I love you.
Yes. Again, we start and we end with a positive father-son relationship in a TV series, which is amazing.
Oh, really good point. Because, there's a whole lot of action still happening. You know, the Scarrans are coming and there's sort of time pressure. Oh, John, hurry up. But we're not really induced to care about that too much. Because, like, we've just had a big action-packed three-parter.
Yeah.
So this one is much, much more about, like, emotions. That's how Farscape ends its seasons. I almost said series there. Uh-huh. Oops.
And there's a lot of gags in it, too, which is...
This is one of the funniest episodes.
I know.
I didn't remember it was so hilarious. But okay, so there is a little bit of action, which is the Scarran Striker has arrived.
Empress Starleek. The wormhole has reappeared as we approach. Scan show Crichton's Leviathan sits nearby, though it makes no attempt to flee or defend itself.
Ignore them. Continue on to Earth. Fulfill your mission.
So he promptly shoots Moya and then dives into the wormhole.
That's a cool craft, that Striker. We see Stark having his obligatory meltdown.
Again.
No, Scarrans! Scarrans! Torture Scarrans! Kill! Torture! Kill! Torture! Kill! Stark!
I think I'm okay now.
I think we get to 3 or 4 Stark meltdowns in this episode.
Yeah.
It's something like that.
He's getting used to them because Sienna says, snap out of it. And he goes, oh yeah, I'm back. No, I think I'm fine now.
Yeah. I think she slaps him, doesn't he? He's like smack. Like.
Good aim for someone who's lost their sight.
And he's making enough noise. Meanwhile,
it's such a cool image, this horizon of the wormhole and the ship flying in.
Yes. Meanwhile, on Earth's side, they are preparing for the wormhole, which apparently is interesting because, like, there's a time lag between the wormhole opening on both sides, which is kind of weird.
So the wormhole seems permanently open on the Moya side because Moya was just hovering over its aperture.
Fair. But it wasn't always.
Well, and it also doesn't necessarily have to be, like, the same exact wormhole. Like, previously, the Pathfinders talked about wormholes cluster.
Maelstroming together and...
Yeah, so however it works... Oh, poor pilot, he sort of wakes up.
Did I miss it?
No.
Did I let you down?
No, you did not.
He's out of it. Like, he is not in a good state, because...
which reminded me of the film Jumanji 2, the second new Jumanji film.
So there's Jumanji 4 then?
Yeah, whatever. If you count Zathura as a Jumanji 2.
I have no idea. I only ever saw the Robin Williams one.
Okay, anyway, this is really bizarre that I'm dragging you here, but there is a moment where there are two old men who have body swapped with two younger men so that the younger actors can have some fun, you know, adventures. And they're doing their bickering, and then one of them is eaten by a fantasy Jumanji monster.
Yeah.
And then the other one, who talks very slowly, who sort of turns to his allies, "Oh my God, did I kill him by talking too slow, like he always said I would?" And just the incredible tragedy that poor man is what he's going through. And this is what Pilate's going through. And then he goes, no, it's fine. Now look, oh, do you see the bubble? Yeah, okay. And proceeding now.
Yes, there's a little bit of timing issue, but they dive into the wormhole, and we get several shots from both sides, actually. The Scarrans moving through the wormhole, which again, apparently, like, now everybody's able to go through wormholes instead of, like, ending up a bloody mess inside their craft.
Yeah.
Like, there seems to be no problem. Oh, yeah, everybody can do it now.
So there are many, many factors. Let me see. So this wormhole to Earth, John traversed that in just a spacesuit.
Fair.
So this appears to be a naturally occurring wormhole, a stable
one, yes.
Yeah, the one outside Scorpius' command carrier,
yeah.
That one was artificially generated. Like, he modified his command carrier to be like some kind of amplifier or repeater.
Fair.
To sort of lock it in place. So maybe that is a factor, or maybe John first traveled through the wormhole in his module, and he was fine, so maybe it's some kind of material property.
It's a naturally stable wormhole, something along those lines. Yeah, it all makes sense.
But yeah, so they're dragging the membrane of the wormhole back in on itself. Essentially, I'm sorry for the word, prolapsing a wormhole.
Unprolapsing it, maybe? Maybe the wormhole is the prolapse, and then you're like pushing it back in.
Anyway, you went
here first. I'm not taking responsibility for any mental images that any of our listeners are getting at this point.
Did you think they were going to crash? Because we see the module and the striker like careening toward each other.
Kind of did.
Yeah. And then instead,
they just passed through each other like we got with the Pathfinders.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah. And it makes the moment you're sitting there getting anxious about it, and then it passes.
Oh!
And then it's such a. Oh, yeah, of course it would, because that's what happens in wormholes. Yeah.
I can't believe you remembered that and I forgot. That's amazing.
Yeah, but no, I thought that was really well set up, because, like, I had, like, oh my God, they're going to crash. And suddenly it's like, and then, oh, yeah, of course it's going to pass through, because, like, we already know that, because it's been so long and it never comes up. It's.
Oh,
David, I love how they kind of get this like surprised look, looking at each other's ships from the inside, and they laugh this like.
As they pass through Pennock.
Also, how much bigger that striker is than the transport module.
Oh yeah, it's a big boy.
Yeah,
Pennock just has time to say,
"Crichton has turned the wormhole against us. We will not survive."
And we see a last shot of Akna.
Yes,
who hears her lover's death. At John Crichton's hand.
Yeah, well, yes, I suppose.
Where you can now imagine that season 5, had it been made, would start with opening credits that an insane military commander was hunting him again.
Yep. But, yes, Pilot is back in Moya.
Super woozy,
because they've landed Moya once again. They are apparently in the soothing waters of some planet where the mineral,
Kujaga.
Where the minerals are nice, and Stark is being a complete self-absorbed prick.
Yes, he wants everybody to know that he saved Moya because she was crippled, but he knew which buttons to press, and he pressed them all. And didn't he do a very good job?
Yes, he's like I said, he's being a self-absorbed prick.
And so Granny just missed him as well.
Yes, like, I love that. I mean, she's up to her game with, like, it's so much easier walking around with powder in your hand and bloke in people's faces, one thing. But look, just carrying a plant mister and just going...
A plant asleep now, only dreams. Because he's saying to Pilot, oh, float on memories and have peace. And then he goes crazy and she goes...
Troubled Stikira, float on memories. And perhaps time will heal your wounds.
Chana is still blind. She's like kind of nervous that she's not going to go away this time.
She made quite a sacrifice.
Yeah.
She knew that this was a risk, And we remember that, even though, you know, it hasn't come up in the season since the early days. But Darker's there to reassure her. They found a diagnosis nearby.
Yeah, and that's going to be the first stop as soon as we're done here after Moya and Pilot have recovered.
In the meantime, they're sort of the peanut gallery and describing for
Shanna,
for Gianna,
what's going on.
Because outside, they've got Aaron and John in a boat.
Where the frell did they get a rowboat?
I know, right? Maybe it's like always been there and it's just never come up.
It's possible. I mean, it could have been like from the Look at the Princess series. That's kind of like the place where they might have picked a rowboat. You know? Or the Party Planet with the...
It looks like straight up with like a boat-ass boat with just some gold like filigree.
With Moya skin flakes draped off. But come on, this shot, this looks like straight out of Game of Thrones.
Oh, you know, yeah, absolutely. And this was filmed like right outside Homebush Bay. Yeah, like they just had water out
just
there.
Just get the camera angle right so you don't see the shoreline and you're fine.
And they have... It's John and Aaron in the boat.
Yes.
T-A-L-K-I-N-G.
Yes.
Reflecting on how far they've come. Like last year, they let a coin decide their fate.
Right.
Not again.
And John flips it up anyway, and there's like a few nice slow motion shots building up the tension before the coin falls into the water, because of course John wasn't going to let it come to a coin toss.
Well, and bloop.
Yep, gone. And she's like almost like, oh, she's kind of surprised. I'm kind of surprised by how down on her emotions Aaron seems to be here. Like, despite everything going her way, she right until the last moment stays completely on the negative.
Well, she's got her own thing that she wanted to talk to John about.
Right, but even after that, okay, let's go through it.
Yeah, because John says, I have a question. And she says, can I go first?
Yes.
Which sort of, John sort of screeches, yeah.
Yeah, so she goes, okay, on the command carrier, I went to see the physician and blah, 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 and...
And she turns to the camera and she says, Kay, you won 250 points. Well done, Kay. Yes. And then she turns back to John. No, don't worry about who, like, Kay. No, he's just some...
Forget about it, yeah. Like, she completely deadpools me. Anyway, but yes, she explains to him, yes, pregnancy is go.
And John asks, and are you okay? And he asks...
And it's yours.
Yeah.
That, like, comes in. Like, he doesn't even ask that. Like,
no, he asks, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yep. And the baby is okay. But instead of saying, it's okay, no, she said, it's yours.
Yes. And she still doesn't seem relieved, even after when he responds extremely positively. Like, even after he stands there screaming, we're going to have a baby!
Which, I don't know, did you choke up?
No.
No, because you are a mandroid. I totally choked up, and I was just like, just the joy and ecstasy and celebration.
Okay. And at this point, I am getting extremely worried. Because I'm sitting there going like, and I had to like suppress the urge to pick up the remote and see how much time there was still left in the episode. Because I'm sitting there, this... Frelin Farscape, it's like nobody's allowed to be happy. Like, what is going to happen? Like,
this is exactly right. This is like when you've watched the whole series like four or five times like I have, then you can choke up in this moment.
Yeah.
And if this is your first time around, you cannot enjoy it.
No, it's like, okay, what the frell is going to happen here?
I know that this is a season finale.
Which was like started with and now...
previously on Farscape and then... And finally.
That's the one, yes.
On Farscape. Yeah, we're going to delve into the cancellation of Farscape in the season 4 recap. We're not going to stop on it too much, but it is relevant here. Because at the time of filming, weren't aware that this was going to be the final season.
Right.
Full expectation of a
fifth season. Yeah, because you said they'd been cleared for season 4 and 5 after season 3.
And for most of the fans, this was about the time when we found out.
Right. So, after the hey-ho, we're having a baby, John
has
getting
his thing.
Yes. He pops down on one knee and pops the question.
Crichton's gone down onto his knees.
Why?
I think he's hurt himself.
And Darko's like, oh, it seems like he put a ring on her finger or something. And at which point Chana gets it because she's been watching all the soaps and the movies.
She was watching trash. So but she knows.
He's proposed to her.
Proposed what?
I love that. Like, so Rigel. Like, marriage and like, what a dumbass.
Amateur.
Idiot.
Fantastic scene.
And they're so happy together, and nothing can possibly go wrong.
And then cue another alien. We have a fantastically complex new alien show up.
Did you recognize that it was a puppet? Straight away?
All the way. Is it? I mean, is it all the way a puppet?
Yeah. Amazing, even, right?
Okay. Because I figured they kind of did a Terminator thing on it where they... like used a made-up person like face for the first bit and then like went a...
Isn't that all incredible? Of his,
that is like fantastic work.
The creature shop, like at the top of their game to the point where, yeah, this is what you think can happen. Nope. It's an animatronic the whole time. You're just so distracted by his amazing hair. He's got a flock of seagulls haircut and he's got a sort of puzzle piece pattern on his face.
Very high forehead.
Yep. He's the occupant of a craft that flies over John and Aaron, and Dargo is worried, like, get back here immediately. And he goes, I'm on a boat, like, this.
Yes, I mean, they do start rowing back a little bit. But yes, meanwhile, the alien is, like, clearly a scout who's been sent out to investigate the fact that a Leviathan has landed in their ocean.
Two invaders have exited their ship. Request orders.
And then his face fucking opens up.
Yes, he gets orders to... neutralize.
Ah, you caught that, did you?
The invaders. There's a nice little loot back. John and Aaron kiss.
And while they're kissing, they're murdered.
They are shot at by an alien spacecraft.
Ah, potato, potato.
Which turns their...
turns them into just granules and they're...
crystalline, yes.
Definitely dead.
Well... They have been neutralized.
Kay, today you are a man. You are one of us. You're a full-grown Farscape aficionado.
So, yeah. So, okay. Back on. Like Dargo does his best Christian Hansen impersonation.
Oh no, that's not fair.
I know.
It was heartrending.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony Simcoe's screaming is just incredible. You hear the heartbreak, and Chiana tries to console him as he watches his friends at their happiest moment being absolutely destroyed.
Yes, and we see this beautiful pile of like little, mostly red and black crystals lying in the boat with the ring perfectly perched on top of it.
A bunch of them have spilled over the side and into the sea, never to be seen again, definitely signaling doom.
Of course, yes, because then it ends with... to be continued because okay at this point
ring sitting on top of the ashes the crystals,
it's not ashes, yes. So at this point I was actually kind of suckered in by the now finally on Farscape, because I knew that it ends quote unquote at season 4,
yeah,
whereas I've figured like everybody else was expecting season 5, then there would have been in sitting here with a slightly different mindset. But then of course there comes the to be continued, and at that point like, oh yeah, of course it's Farscape, like,
yeah, because...
And, go on.
Well, like, knowing that this was the end of the series, they could have just, like, even in editing, without shooting anything new, they just could have faded out on the kiss.
Yes. And but just, that was, but happy endings are not allowed in Farscape.
Yeah.
So, yes, they could have just, like, crushed him. A final little kick towards the fans to make sure that everybody hates the writers forever.
Oh, I don't think that was the case at all.
No, but they could have done it.
So I watched this on the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
And on the BBC, I guess I just didn't catch that it was And Finally. Right. And it wasn't announced as the series finale until like this and then To Be Continued. And then, you know how they have presenter's voices?
Yeah.
So then you had this cheerful woman's voice saying, and that was the end of Farscape, the season, the series finale, just informing. I was just sitting there just blinking, wait, what? Wait, what? There's no... This is it? It's said to be continued. Did you lie?
They're not
The BBC even considered removing To Be Continued, right? To be clear to
that. That makes sense. Yeah, that if the BBC knew, quote unquote, that it was like the really end of them, it would have been unfair to keep put To Be Continued there.
But they respected the show creator's wishes, and a feverish, some might say rabid, fan campaign was born. That we'll delve into more in the season recap, but... first,
she gives me a Woody.
She gives you the Willies.
Okay, this is going to take a while. There's a bit of a list.
All right, hit me.
So, traditionally, first, the Willies.
Yeah.
So, first of
really
all...
really difficult this time around, right?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, with Willies, we tend to go two ways. Either it's something we... you know, we don't like in production or choices that were made,
yeah,
or something that just is generally a
like eases you out, yes, or like gives you the actual willies.
It gives you the actual willies, like being scared in a ghost mansion or something, right, like that. So these are both of the second category.
Oh. Okay, bring it.
Okay, first one is the little Sikozu and Scorpius little tea party.
I know. Which was like
but I think the real willy goes to the goodbye scene with that. Like that really, that was like, oh my God, that's like, that was a, yeah, emotionally painful scene to watch.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's, you know, that's, I mean, it's a beautiful scene. Like, again, like,
no, of course, but
that, that's like it's a good willy. Let me put it like that.
Wow. It was a very good willy. Good job, David Kemper, for your excellent willy. I'm with you. I don't want to call it a willy. No, let me see if I can...
Call it a woody, too. I mean, I kind of figured that might have been your woody, that scene, but...
I have a surprising woody this time good around. One. My willy, helmet seals. I looked at my list again.
Of course, yes, helmet seals.
I just... It's so distracting.
All right.
Like, it's almost... If it wasn't for the helmets... Actually, I should forgive the helmets. Then it would be carabiners. That are clearly not locked,
okay,
but are just sort of mashed together.
That's kind
of
weird, because like there's definitely the sound. The Foley artist definitely does his work. He locks them together. But let me have a quick look at that scene, because I... Wait, it's more at the beginning.
Found it. It's kind of a wonky gif. Okay?
Yeah.
And we're just back from a literal five-minute break where we looked
trying
through
all
the
trying to find the right gif.
And found the one that indeed he's
he is
sort
correct.
Of...
He kind of like hooks it on and it like sticks on by friction or something. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not hooked together. All right? That was the biggest issue that you had with the entire episode.
It was the only time that I wasn't completely riveted.
All right.
Which like completes Farscape's tradition of really bad helmets and just forget about that. But
I mean, they did a little good bit of carabining when they were stuck inside the Budong and they had to like shoot missiles at it.
See, they did great there. And they had the cable laid out and that exactly. Cool sort of whipping cable. But what's your Woody?
All right, well.
Bit of a list.
Fourth place. Like I said, in fourth place. Granny.
Natural. Organic. Drunks.
Which
I have Granny pretty high on mine as well.
Which had me in stitches. I mean, and her little bejazzled spray bottle. And
she is great throughout.
She is fantastic in this episode. She is very supportive. She's gone away from the deliberately obtuse and mystical way. And she's still the same in a lot of ways. But yeah, she's playing along. She's not being unnecessarily weird about it anymore.
Yeah, like she's not. It's almost as if I imagine that she was guarded for most of the series. That
yes,
she was
she
like
kind of like not opening up towards everybody else, or not letting them in, or something like that. Yeah,
right. And now she's fully comfortable with everyone. Like she's purple eyed throughout.
Yes,
right. Not a hint of blue or red.
Yeah, very true.
Good one.
All right. In third place, the alien pilot at the very end. That was gorgeous.
Voiced by Ben Browder, by the way.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Who did a... Apparently, he's been clamoring to play an alien for ages and ages, and right, then he didn't realize that, okay, so you're going to let me play the alien that kills me? Cool.
Fair.
Cool. He even did a really good job, like, lip-syncing to the puppet whose lips don't completely close. So he even has this sort of wide-lipped accent.
All right, it kind of helped.
Neutralization run beginning.
Yeah. In second place, Rigel's response, propose. Propose to what?
I'd even say Rigel throughout. And again,
yeah,
like
fair point.
He's a hero up to the point of his own competence, and then he knows that other people are better than him.
Yeah. But in first place, it's going to be the wormhole crash. Because I love that like
scene,
because that really had me on tenterhooks. That was so cool. Well done. The Scarrons just get sidelined. Like they meet each other. The Scarrons realize, oh, Frel, there's something really not going right. And then it's...
Yeah, the Scarrons even tried to like, abort, abort, abort.
Yeah, but turn around, no... get the Frel out of here. And it's... So yes, that'll be my Woody for the episode.
Oh, well done. I had a bit of a list as well. So obviously, John and his dad... Like, John and Aaron?
Yeah.
This is a really well-earned scene.
Finally, they're like having good relationship talks with each other.
It's yes! Like, yes! Finally, you're there. And earned. Like, they've been through so much, including like what they've been through in season 4, hiding from each other, rejecting each other, coming slowly back from their highly emotionally motivated decision to separate from one another. and coming to this moment of like clarity and happiness and the terror of commitment for both of them.
So, I mean, Erin seems to be like on board with that, which again makes it for me weird how apprehensive she is right at the end. Because like during the rest of the episode, she seems to be much more on board with what things the way going the way they are. Because like, what is it that they said? Like when John said, like, what always terrified me is that I couldn't see where it was going to go. And she's like, the thing that terrified me is that I could see where it was going to go. Yeah. I did see how it would end. Yes.
There's a lot to unpack there. Abe, I'm going to surprise you with my Woody.
Go on.
Pilot.
Oh, that's not really a surprise.
Well, okay. No, fair enough, given my track record. But this is a pilot episode.
Yes.
He gets tons to do. He deals with some emotional quandaries himself. And he's just a spectacular performance, obviously by Lani Tupu, who we are delighted by.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I love any episode where Pilot gets to do something. And, like, he can finally say, he does get out sometimes.
He
like,
does, yes.
I don't get out much, but...
It has. It has occurred.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, here we are.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I guess we have to push a button at this point.
Thank you for joining us once again on So Farscape. We've concluded season 4. For those of you who weren't fully aware, for many years now, I've joked that I didn't tell Kay that Farscape was cancelled after season 4, and I didn't tell Kay that there was a miniseries coming after. Of course, Kay, I would never do that to you.
No.
As funny as the thought was.
I think it's kind of snuck. I don't even recall how it happened. But yeah, for the longest time, privately, we referred to it the two episodes that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
But I think it happened somewhere in season 2 or something.
Oh, thereabouts.
We must have been talking about how the scheduling was going to pan out. Because like, this is a 4-year project for us at this point.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, we did the first 2 seasons in 1 year.
Yeah, so then it must be 3 years.
Yes.
The first Corona year. So right, September-ish 2020.
But we're not done yet. We're going to have a season 4 recap.
Yep.
And then we're going to have the two final miniseries episodes, yeah.
Yep. And like while we thought about doing another Greatest Hiatus, you know, having the experience.
Yes.
We really just want to
We are too eager to get on with it.
So, as always, join us for a fanfic reading next time where, hey, spoilers, I'm going to be giving you another magazine, and this episode of the magazine, as you call them, is all about the cancellation. Actually not to miss. We'll be talking a lot more about season 4. At the time of this airing, I've probably already put out the call for questions. I don't know whether that's still going to be available by the time that we air, because we do have to record in advance.
Yeah, this has been recorded a little more than 2 weeks before it airs, so...
Oh, then there might still be time.
Yeah.
Actually, so check real quick on SoFarscape, at SoFarscape on Twitter. If the call is out to submit your questions to Kay, what he thought of season 4 and the series so far, then please do so. Thank you, as always, to all of our listeners. Thank you to Lee. Lee writes songs for providing our excellent theme music that we always rock out to at the beginning of every episode. Thank you to all of our wonderful supporters on Patreon who've contributed to our recording equipment and kept the lights on here at So Farscape Studios. And thank you to the Jim Henson Company and Ben Browder and everyone who've produced this fantastic show for us to enjoy. Did I do it right, Kay?
Yeah,
Is that all the things I was supposed to do?
I think
Okay, thank you. Then I'm Kaki.
I'm Kay.
To be continued.